You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. This week, episode 49, we are talking ice hockey for the Nintendo Entertainment System, an absolute classic, one of the best sports games of all time. I don't care what you say. Before I get into all that, what we're talking about, my guest, what's going on, everything, quickly, I want to address my voice. As you guys can tell, I probably sound a little more Super Dave Osborne-y than normal. Rest in peace, sir. And the reason for that is because it was my best friend's stag party 3 days ago. He's getting married at the end of June. And man, we went hard this weekend, and I am still on the road to recovery. So I've done the best I can. I waited as long as I could. I've been sucking cough drops, drinking water. The episode needs to go live in about 7 hours, so I had no choice but to jump in and record this. So bear with it. My apologies. It doesn't sound any worse than my normal voice, I'm sure. And with that said, let's get into this week's episode. We're talking ice hockey. I'm really excited for this one. I know I say that most weeks, not every week. You should see a few of the episodes we have coming up. I am not fucking excited at all. Like, I mean, they're fun episodes, but they are shit games. But this one is not. Ice hockey is rad. My pal David Ray is here, and we had a great time talking about this one. I've had a lot of people ask about doing ice hockey on the show. Some people have wanted to do an ice hockey versus Blades of Steel comparison. At one point, I considered doing a compilation episode where I would have several guests give their opinions on ice hockey versus Blades of Steel. But I think it would get pretty repetitive pretty quick. And frankly, I think Blades of Steel can stand on its own for its own episode. So we'll get into that down the road. I do talk. We, I mean, obviously we get into Blades of Steel a little bit in this episode, but the focus this week, ice hockey. It's awesome. And as I say this, for anyone that cares, and I don't know if anyone outside of me cares, the Stanley Cup Finals are on right now, and the Bruins and Blues are tied at 2 games apiece. And fuck the Bruins, go Blues. We are cheering for not Boston. So there's your sports coverage, your ice hockey tie-in to this week's episode. You guys know I got to get my plugs out of the way. If you're on the social media and stuff, find us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at MemberTheGame, just like Remember without the RE at the front. We try to follow back everyone that follows us, although on Instagram, especially, I try to weed out the like spam bots and stuff like that. So if I've missed you and you're following me and you want us to just shoot me a message, please, and let me know you're not a robot, and I'll absolutely follow back. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/RememberTheGame. The full title. We are also on YouTube at youtube.com/rememberthegame. Our subscribers are going up there, which is rad. Thank you guys. Right now, all that's on there is old episodes of the podcast. But beginning next week with episode 50 on June 12th, I will be rolling out the first part of our new Let's Play series on there, which is Adam Sucks at Video Games. If that's your cup of tea, and reviews and stuff are coming on there as well. I've got the first script written for my first review. I have all the gameplay footage captured. I just haven't recorded the audio to put it together because, as you can tell, it hurts to talk. So it's coming. I'm hoping to have my voice completely back and have it ready to go for next week. If not, it'll be shortly after that. But follow us, youtube.com/rememberthegame. And finally, the newest one, twitch.com/rememberthegame. I know that some of these are members, some of these are remember. I'm sorry. If you're on the Twitch, or sorry, not twitch.com, twitch.tv, twitch.tv/rememberthegame. I'm not on there streaming a lot yet. I will be popping up on there this week, just trying to figure it all out, get it working. My eventual goal for Twitch is to just be streaming in the evenings after I get home from my comedy shows, be it my open mics or my paid shows, whatever, be on there dinking around with some games. Please, if you're on there, I don't know nothing of Twitch. I'm completely new to it. I'm learning. I'll subscribe back if I can. Please throw us a follow. Come on, and I'd love to talk games and comedy with you guys on there. So keep an eye on there, twitch.tv/rememberthegame. That should be up and running sooner than later. sorry, I got to drink some water here. It makes for a great podcast day. If you guys are enjoying the show, please throw us a good review to on iTunes or whatever your podcast service of choice is. I don't know what they accomplish, but I ask for them every week because apparently that's what good podcasters do. And if you leave me one, I'll do my best to read them on the show and give you a shout out. I have two new ones I want to read off iTunes right now. One from Bullfrog 1221, 5 stars. Even when the game is a little light, you still manage to bring me back to those early Power Ranger years. Keep it up. I'll see you in the 6. Thank you very much, man. This dude interacts with me on Instagram all the time. I'm doing some shows in Toronto this summer. I believe that's where he's from, hence the 6 thing. So hopefully we get a chance to catch up while I'm out there. And then from Nazareth Darkshore, and I don't know if that's a guy or a girl or who that is, but thank you so much for the kind review. 5 stars. Adam Blank might not fill the airtime with as much painstaking research and granular detail as a show like Retronauts, but that's only because this podcast's strength is in the host's personality, charm, or personality, charisma, and skill to entertain on mic, even when he's not joined by a co-host. His passion for retro gaming is genuine, refreshingly uncynical, and his nostalgia is infectious without ever seeming disposable. Lots of great, accessible content here. That's a very, very nice review, man, even though I fucked up trying to read it. So, or man or girl, I'm sorry, I don't know. But thank you so much for the kind review. That's awesome. And if you'd like me to read your review, please leave me one on iTunes or whatever you use, although the only ones I can really seem to find is iTunes. Even if you think the show sucks, please give us 5 stars, but then you can put that the show sucks in the comments, and I'll absolutely read it on here. I have no problem with that. So please leave us reviews. I'll try to read them on here. What are we at here? 6 minutes already. Jesus. Things are good. Good. Very, very busy for me. Massive shout out to any YouTuber, streamer, whatever, that does all this Let's Play game review stuff regularly, because it is a huge time sink. Way bigger commitment than I thought it was going to be. I was up till 1 o'clock last night just editing and working on stuff, trying to roll everything out for next Wednesday. I'm loving it. I'm learning as I go. It's awesome, but it's a lot of work. So massive props to those of you that do it. As you guys have heard from that pre-recorded intro, I'm a comedian in the evening. So when I get up in the morning, the first things I do are send out emails trying to book shows, do my writing, watch my tapes, or listen to my comedy sets from the night before to try to improve that. And then I get to work on this almost every day now. And it's it's a dream life. Like I'm not complaining. I know I drove a forklift for years and years, man. I'm fully aware of how lucky I am to be doing this. It's just a lot of work. So massive props to people that have been doing it a lot longer and a lot better than I do, because holy shit. What else have we got going on here? I'm scrolling through my notes. That's how good I am at this. Oh yeah. I mentioned it last week. If you didn't listen to the podcast last week, excuse me. We have a Patreon coming. It's set up. It's ready to launch next week. The only reason I'm not launching it right now is because I would like to put a quick video into the description part of it. And I just need a little bit more voice before I do that. But if you didn't listen last week, I stressed it then, I will stress it again. You are under no obligation to donate to this thing. Okay. The weekly show that you're listening to right now will never change. As long as I'm doing it, there'll be a show every Wednesday. There will never be advertising. You will never have to pay to access this show or the back catalog of these shows. It'll be there. Okay. But we are going to have some rewards available on it. And I'm just letting you guys know, all I'm trying to do with my Patreon is buy a little bit of better equipment that I use for some of the editing and stuff like that. Right now I'm kind of scraping by with some of my gear, and I would love to see this hobby and this project of mine become self-sustaining, but I'm not looking to get rich. I mean, I'm already not getting rich at comedy, and that's paying my bills. So the tiers for my Patreon, if you don't know what Patreon is, basically you go on, you pay to subscribe to somebody's service or whatever, and you donate money to them. And then in return, they usually give you rewards and stuff like that. And they have different tier levels that you can sign up for. I'll get more into detail on the tiers and stuff next week when I launch the Patreon. But just quickly to give everyone a heads up, for $0, you can just keep listening to the show every week. No problem. For $2 a month, you will unlock all the rewards, and the rewards will be 2 extra podcasts per month. Not necessarily Remember the Game ones, because I don't want to lock any game reviews behind a paywall, but you'll get an extra video game episode a month, along with an extra ranting episode a month, which is what I'm doing right now. I'd be happy to answer questions, stuff like that. Those will be rolled out more in detail next week. I'll be giving shout outs at the end of my YouTube videos to all my Patreon subscribers. And the most important thing is I will be giving away 25% of everything I make back to one Patreon. I call them investors every single week. I had mentioned it was going to be 20%. I've decided to go with 25%, with the caveat being it's going to be $5 for every $25 on the Patreon, because gift cards come in $5 increments for Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, stuff like that. So for $2 a month, you will get access to 2 additional episodes, shout out to the end of my YouTube videos, and you will get entered into a draw to win 25% of whatever it is I raise on Patreon month after month. And then there are a couple additional tiers that'll just get you more entries into the draw. You'll get more into that all next week, okay? I know I'm rambling, I'm sorry, but you guys, whether you subscribe to the Patreon, whether you never look at the Patreon, whether you never follow us on any social media or anything, thank you guys so much. As we get into episode 50 next week, I am so blown away by the amount of support, the number of downloads, and the amount of positive feedback I've received on this show. I'm blown away. I really thought this was just going to be a stupid hobby for me to talk video games and justify all the time I spend playing them. And it's turned into a complete passion project that's taken over all my spare time. And I love doing it. And I love all you guys for listening. So thank you all so much. Fuck me, 10 more. Okay, I'm gonna shut up pretty quick and get to ice hockey. We have got a ton of new episodes recorded. I did a bunch more recording over the last week, including we got episode 50 locked down, which I had to do with a little bit of a rough voice, but that's okay. Should keep us going all the way through the summer. I'm really excited to roll some of these episodes out. And I'll be honest, like, I was a little worried about running out of premium games, you know, like the heavy hitters. But there's so many, you know, and not every week is it going to be a premium game. As you guys have seen, last week was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That's not a premium game, but it's a nostalgia trip. And that's the key behind this podcast for me. And we do see a slight downtick in the amount of downloads we get on a weekly basis when we start talking about a game that's not a Final Fantasy or a Zelda or a Mario or something. And that's totally cool. I understand. I get it. If you guys go back to our early episodes of the show, we burned through so many quality games, like the first 5 games, Super Mario World, Turtles in Time, Link to the Past, Ocarina of Time, like just massive titles. And so I had to pull back a little bit on burning all the premium games right away. I do have a bunch of them in the bank. We will be rolling them out. But even the ones that aren't premium games, I still have a great time doing it. People are still listening. I need to make this thing last for a while, so I can't just do the 100 greatest games of all time in the first 100 episodes and be fucked. Maybe with some of those early games down the road, I'll do a recent playthrough and then do a new episode on them, just kind of as like a refresher and stuff like that. But anyway, so that's what's going on with me and all of our upcoming episodes. Quickly, as far as what I've been playing over the last week, I finished Resident Evil 4. I love it. I fucking love it. There's an episode coming on that game on this podcast in the next few months. That game took over my life. One of the greatest games of all time. Fucking awesome. And I've been playing SteamWorld Heist a little bit on my Switch, but that's been it. Since I finished Resident Evil 4, I just haven't had a lot of time to play my video games, so not very exciting. That's what I've been playing. But that's what I have been playing. This week we're talking about what also I have been playing. That's fucking sounded smooth in my head. This week we're talking ice hockey for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I'm pretty excited about this. Like I said off the top, everyone compares it to Blades of Steel. We have a little bit of comparisons to Blades of Steel in here as well. At least I think I mentioned it off the top. I won't lie to you guys, this is my second shot at recording this intro. I got halfway through it the first time, and then my phone rang because my car is in the shop, and it was calling to tell me my car was ready, and I had to start over. But so quickly, if I didn't mention it, I know everyone compares this to Blades of Steel. I had several people asking to do episodes comparing ice hockey to Blades of Steel. I've decided to give Blades its own episode down the road. Today we're talking ice hockey. There are some comparisons in there, but whatever. One of the best early sports games of all time, for my money, still one of the best sports games of all time. It's so easy to play, pick it up, go. It's hella classic. It is the best. My guest this week is my pal David Ray. He's my go-to NES guest. He's a good friend of mine. He's hilarious. I'm gonna cue the music. And it doesn't matter if you're a fat guy, a skinny guy, a medium guy, or if you're from Poland or wherever you're from. I only said Poland because I just read that, or because I just had the list of countries that's in the game in front of me, and Poland's one of them. But the cue the music, if I didn't already say that, the music should be playing right now. This is the worst intro I've recorded. You'd think after almost 50, I'd have it down. 14 minutes of garbage. Kick back, relax, join me and David as we take a trip down memory lane to March of 1988 and the release of Ice Hockey on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Check it out, guys. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. All right, this is a little bit of a special episode of the podcast, because this is one of those games that everybody played. I've had so many people reach out asking to come on the podcast to talk about it, and I'm talking about it with my go-to NES guest and the first guy to ask to talk about ice hockey, and that is my buddy David Ray. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm actually surprised that people ask about ice hockey. Did you not get Blades of Steel?
I see. Now, that's where I was going to go. At one point, I even had an idea for an episode that was going to literally just be each guest comparing, like, what do they like better Blades of Steel or ice hockey, because I know that's the debate. The problem I came up with that concept for that episode was that everyone was going to make the same argument. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was going to get very repetitive very fast. So I was like, let's just get one person on here that wants to talk ice hockey. Because admittedly, I was a Blades of Steel kid.
Yeah, sure.
But I also played, like, I played both because I love hockey. Yeah. And as an adult, I'm sorry, Blades of Steel guys, because I was one. Ice hockey has aged infinitely better than Blades of Steel has. Like, infinitely better.
Well, because, like, I feel... I didn't play as much. I didn't own that one.
Okay.
I played it a few times, and I feel like that was trying to go for more simulation than what ice hockey.
It was.
Ice hockey definitely was not simulation.
No, I think that's what Blades of Steel was. Blades of Steel, like, I mean, and I know they both have it, but with the possible exception of the fight for the puck, loser goes to the box, winner gets the puck.
Yeah.
Gameplay.
Yeah.
They did try to go for more of a realistic looking one. And I think that, like, even as early as the Super Nintendo, that it became outdated. Like, it was just like, this has been done better and better and better. Once the NHL, like, did you ever play NHL Stanley Cup on the Super Nintendo?
Yeah. Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
That weird one with the camera, like, right behind you.
It's pseudo 3D. And yeah.
Like, I played that one a ton as a kid. But then I remember, like, NHL 96, I think, was the first one I played. And once the NHL series really got big, which I know.
Especially, like, 95, like 94, 95.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, once NHL 94 blew up, dude, Blades of Steel was left in the dust, you know?
But, like, Blades of Steel is, like, one of those ones that started the legacy, I think.
Yep.
Whereas ice hockey was the start and end of that style of game.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's, I think,
aside from maybe NHL Hits, you remember that?
I do remember NHL Hits. Those were beautiful. I loved those games. But the thing is with ice hockey is, like, I just had it here on my computer. Like, ice hockey came out in 1988. And, dude, ice hockey is literally as pickup and playable today as it was over 30 years ago. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
They could have, like, say this game never came out. Ice hockey never existed. And then some indie company just created a game called Ice Hockey and released this exact game today on, like, Steam and Switch and PS4 and everything for, like, $8 or something. You could buy it and it would blow up. It would become, like, people would be playing the shit out of it. It's that easy to play. And it's that fun. It's just a fun video game.
That's interesting. I like the reason why I wanted to do this game is for a variety of reasons, but one of them was, like, it was the first game I ever bought outside of, like, the one that came bundled with the NES.
Okay.
Which is kind of a weird choice, I feel.
So all you had was, like, Mario?
Mario and Duck Hunt.
And then you bought Ice Hockey.
Ice Hockey was the first one I went. And I wasn't necessarily the biggest hockey kid, but my dad was a Zamboni operator for the Brandon Wheat Kings.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So he actually met, like, Ron Hextall and... Wade Redden came through when he was there. So, like, I loved hockey to a certain degree, but I never played because, just couldn't afford.
It's not a cheap game, it's not a cheap game for a kid,
especially for a kid that's just kind of like, I'm not really a sporty kid,
right?
So
yeah,
it's like a lot of investment for somebody who doesn't really care that
much. They don't know if they'll get into it,
but I played ice hockey, and like I love that. It was just like a very simple kind of a game, and I would do the thing like, well, I don't have, like, all the real teams like they do in Blades of Steel, but I'll make my own, like, I'll play as the Winnipeg Jets.
Totally.
And, like, the Americans are blue, so that's the Winnipeg Jets. Yeah. They're going to take on, you know, whoever.
Yeah, I used to do that, like, before I got, I mean, even, well, NHL Stanley Cup had a season mode, but yeah, as far as, like, Blades of Hockey or Blades of Steel even, like, because there wasn't really a season mode. You'd play, like, a tournament and that was it, right?
Yeah.
Same thing, like, write down your stats, write down the win-loss records and stuff. Like, dude, it's, like...
Let the computer go at it.
Because, like, I'll tell you right now, and, like, we're going to break it down over the next 20 minutes or so, like, when you play ice hockey, like, there is, it's fucking so fun. And there's depth as far as the gameplay goes, and we'll get into that. But as far as the game modes go... It is as bare bones
yeah.
as any. It is the ice. It's Excitebike. It's the Excitebike of ice hockey.
Yeah.
It literally, you turn it on.
It looks like Excitebike.
It does. Yeah. You literally, you turn it on. You decide, do you want to play against somebody or do I want to play against the computer? And then your game is played, and then that's it. Like there's no season, no career, no tournament.
You can turn up the speed, if I can remember right.
You could you can make it faster, and you could set the length of the periods.
Yeah.
But that was it. Like there was like, so that's crazy to me. Like that, like the second game you would own is, because Mario, obviously, it's, I mean, you could beat Mario if you're really good. I know the world record's like 5 minutes, but like realistically, like an hour and you're done Mario. You know what I mean? Like either you've game over it or you've beaten it. Whereas like ice hockey, 10 minutes and your game is over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's...
Regardless of how good you are at it.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
Because there's no tournament. There's no...
Nothing.
Cup. There's no season. None of that. It's like, yeah, there's not like a shootout mode really.
No, it was just like...
There were penalty shots in the game, but...
Yeah, which is... Sick. Sick. And but honestly, like, and that's where, like, I mean, I don't remember what games cost in the 80s, but like they were probably $60 or $70 for a video game.
I actually can't speak to that either. I'm assuming so. Like, I feel like the price of games have stayed steady for a long time.
Yeah. Like, I remember buying Super Nintendo games for like 80 or 90 bucks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, just for argument's sake, say that Nintendo games, because I mean, you and I are about the same age, dude. Like, when ice hockey came out, like, in the NES days, I wasn't buying myself games. I was, like, maybe once ever. Yeah. But I was, like, whatever my parents bought me. But, like, I could get how you could buy this game and pay, like, $60 or $70 for it. And then after, like, an hour, be like, well, now what the fuck do we do with this game, right? But, like people would think that now. But, like, in the 80s, this was just what video games were, right? It was the same as Excitebike, or I had baseball.
Yeah.
All those, like, basic sports games, there was no depth to them. It was just fun to play.
Yeah.
To me, the key is to have somebody to play it with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's where the fun of ice hockey comes in, is playing it two-player with somebody.
Yes, that's definitely true. Especially since that game, where they go with more of an arcadey kind of a feel in terms of, yeah, it's not like you have these players with varying stats.
Sure.
You just had your three dudes
in
different weird combinations of like, which team did you always choose? You know?
Fat. I always played. I would always
check his vaccines.
I would always pick Canada because I'm Canadian.
Yeah, and they
would
wear their. But then you make them fat.
Yeah, like, and that's okay. So, so you get to pick a team, and I can't. I should have wrote it down, and I didn't. The nations that are in this team.
Oh,
I think
let me see if I can remember them.
Yeah,
there's
go for
six
it.
Of them. There's there's the Americans.
Yeah,
Canada,
I got it right here. Let's see.
Sweden.
Yeah.
Czechoslovakia. Yep. Russia. And what's the other one?
You got five.
I know. France?
Poland.
Yeah.
The USA, Sweden, Czechoslovakia, Canada, Poland, and the Soviet Union.
The USSR.
Yeah. But like, that's so funny.
They
some
were really
of those
just,
nations.
Like, clearly, like, they were trying to recreate, like, what is that series called?
The Summit Series.
The Summit Series.
Yeah. Like, I love it because it's like, if you made
it's a very, like, Poland, Russia.
Yeah. I mean, if you created a hockey game like this today and you need to put six nations in, you'd go US, Canada, Russia, Finland, the Czechs.
I think you'd still have Sweden in there, maybe.
And then probably Sweden. That would probably be the six teams. Yeah, yeah. But like you wouldn't have Poland. Fucking like, and then my favorite thing is that like, so they like, I'm okay with this because obviously they didn't have the NHL license or anything.
Yeah.
Like, so they made it, which is whatever, who cares?
Especially if there's no season or cut, like who cares?
Matter,
like,
right?
Might as well.
And if you make it international teams, now you don't even have to worry about trying to name or like, I mean, not that Blades of Steel did either, but you don't even have to worry about putting names or identities on the players at all because it could just be random people from that country, right?
Yeah.
My favorite thing is the weird color of some of the jerseys. Like Canada is like
it's
a
green.
Puke green, and
it's like a lime green. Like it's a very bizarre green.
There was one time where Canada wore this weird jersey. It had like a black stripe across the middle with the leaf in it, and then it had like this weird almost like the Nashville Predator gross mustard green yellow on the top and bottom. We wore
weird.
It one time, yeah, but like that was like Canada wears red or white, and I just like I thought
well, the,
that was
the
so
Russians
weird.
Need the red,
sure, so then why can't Canada be white? Oh, because white will blend into the ice.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That was probably what it was. They needed six distinct colors, so they were like, ah, fuck it, this is good enough.
So. Yeah, like, what other color could you... If you're not allowed to have red, if you're not allowed to have white...
Yeah, I mean, unless
what
you,
other color are you going to put in there?
Maybe... black, because I know Canada wears black sometimes, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, I always found that very funny, because Blades of Steel did the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, some of the teams wore these weird fucking colors, and you were like, what is that? But it was, because they needed each team to look so different.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Just, I know you guys can't see this, but, like, that's the jersey I was talking about.
So, it looks like a Bumblebee stripe. Like,
yeah,
Bumblebee colors kinda. With one stripe.
Like Pittsburgh Steelery.
Like there are like old
the
jersey.
Ugly ones. Yeah. So, so you could pick from six different nations of varying realism. And then you got to make up your team. And to me, this is the single best aspect of ice hockey. I'm trying to think of what we're looking
especially
for.
Especially like in NES era hockey, where like Blades of Steel, there was not any difference, I don't think, amongst their characters.
None. And
they were just five guys.
Yeah. And I liked Blades of Steel because I liked the way that they would kind of talk.
Oh,
like
sure.
It's the pass or whatever the fuck it is. I still don't know what they would say. I think it was it's the pass. But
did you ever play Double Dribble?
No, I didn't.
Okay, never mind. We don't have to go, because I'm just thinking of like, it starts off, Double Dribble.
Oh, really? The old NES tried to say words. It was like this guy that couldn't like, oh, back now. Just the fucking worst. The NES couldn't talk. But, something, I'm going to do an episode on that game, and I'm just going to like, well, fucking let it have it. So Blades of Steel, like, I thought it looked cool, and I liked the way it looked. Like, it seemed like the more adult, mature, like, yeah, this is badass, right?
Whereas it looked ice real.
Hockey, yeah. Whereas, like, ice hockey clearly had more features, because it had to be able to, it has a surprisingly deep level of customization to be able to pick your roster of your four players.
Well, like, it's because of that arcadey style of, like, okay, your three different kind of players you could have is, like, kind of like the moderate mid-level guy who's kind of can kind of do everything well, the very Mario of the ice hockey game.
Yeah,
and then you had the skinny guy who was very quick, pretty accurate shots, but very slow shots, and they were not very good at hitting.
No, they were good on the face-off though.
Yeah,
they were great on the face-off, but
because
yeah, they get
so quick.
But
yeah,
you could blow on them and knock them over. Yeah.
And then you'd have the big guys who were just like, they were like a circle of human.
Yeah,
pretty
they were
much.
They look like Wario.
With a stick. Yeah,
that's
with
the
a stick
original appearance of Wario is in this game, because it looks
as
like
the
him.
Swedish, yeah. The Swedish fat guy.
And they were slow as fuck.
But they could, like, if they connect with their body check, you just, especially the skinny guy, would go across, like, from blue line to the backboards.
Yeah, he would rock them. And he had a cannon of a shot, too, the big guy. Like,
oh,
a
yeah.
cannon of a slap shot. Have you saved it up?
Uncontrollable, but not great direction. Like, you're just, you could, like, score from one end of the side to the other because it's so quick.
Yeah.
But whether or not it gets anywhere near the net
is. Are you a Mighty Ducks fan?
Yeah.
He's the Fulton Reed.
Yeah.
He's like one out of five. I can hit the net one out of five. It's so cool because, like, so you have these three characters who, like, there are other games where, like, there are different, you can pick from different characters and they may have different stats, but they don't really feel that different. You know what I mean? Like,
these three feel completely different.
Completely.
Yeah.
Like, so distinct. And I think that, like, there's a little bit of credit to be given to Nintendo to be able to, like, again, back this early to make these players still feel this unique from each other. You know what I mean? That must probably not easy
strategy.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, they're totally the strategy. Yeah. So, I mean,
because, like, and the slower speed too, you'd probably want the bigger guys because since everybody moves kind of slower, it was a little easier to respawn. But in, like, the faster speeds, suddenly the little guys kind of get a little bit of an edge.
Yeah.
Especially if you're playing against another human.
Yeah.
Because they're so hard. They move so lightning fast.
Yeah, when you turn the speed up, the fat guys, if you're not really good, they get left behind fucking quick. So,
although if the computer's in control, like, the computer's like got that, you know, supernatural, like,
oh fuck!
Insight where it's just like, it knows exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
So they can kind of make quick work of you. But depends. But that's where it goes of like, are you playing against a computer? Are you playing against a human? Which team of computer? Because the computer always chooses the same lineup for the six teams.
Like, yeah. So like each of the six nations came with like a default setup of their four players.
Yeah.
And then like when you
that play, was the other thing, four players, not five.
Not five, which I think is awesome. So they would have four players, and then they would just like they each had a default setting, and the computer would just play with whatever their team was set at. Whereas like when you picked a team, you were only basically picking a nation for the sake of picking a nation. You could pick any makeup of the four players you want, which is just like. I don't know who had that idea to not just have preset six rosters and instead give you the customization to pick your team.
Yep.
But like whoever did that, I hope they're still getting royalties on this game because that's what makes this game so great is the ability to be able to set whatever team you want.
Yep.
You can load up with four skinny guys, fly around the ice, but you're just a bunch of like you get pushed over whenever anyone sneezes, right?
Yeah.
You can pick four fatties.
Yeah.
And no one can get by you.
Yeah.
But if they like, well, they can't skate through you. But if they get around you, you're completely fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I love that aspect of it. It adds so much replayability to this game, so much. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time, every day. I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad, the ugly. I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
There's a I don't like the, I was trying to look around for it again today, but there's this game called this modifier. This is kind of like me moving up to the present day. I think it's called Rogue Hockey. I was looking around for it, and somebody made a mod of the game so that it's like a role playing game that you go around. You're like one of the hockey players. And you like fight guys and you use pucks and they use the engine from ice hockey to do it. So you'd have like the skinny guys, fat guys,
nice.
The goalies were everywhere, and so you're playing this weird blend of a roguelike adventure game with hockey as its base. I don't know what the story is. And you can, like, at the very least, you can still find videos of it.
Sure.
And at one point, you can actually play the game yourself. But I can't seem to find the link anymore.
That's maybe cool, though.
Yeah.
But that speaks to this game's legacy, right? That, like, people are still kind of tweaking with it. Like, everyone...
Messing around with it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, again, being as a diehard Blades of Steel guy, but Blades of Steel just hasn't stood the test of time. People don't look back on it as fondly as they do ice hockey.
I think you'd be remiss to not mention, though, that Blades of Steel did have that, like, mini game between the second and third period on every other game.
Yeah. Where you got to like control the spaceship and like shoot and stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty badass. Yeah.
Wasn't that supposed to be like an ad for another actual game?
I think it is. Yeah. Like I can't really remember.
I can't remember what the game is.
But I do remember being so excited every time I got a chance to play that while I was playing Blades of Steel. But you know what ice hockey has? It has Jason driving three Zambonis at the same time.
The most...
Like, he's got a ski mask or a hockey mask on.
Yeah.
And he's just ripping around the ice on these Zambonis, three of them at once. It's awesome.
As I said, my dad was a Zamboni operator, so when I'd play this game with him, he's just like, that's poor coverage.
Yeah.
They just did three stripes kind of randomly.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You left the edges and everything. Why would you...
I love it, though. I just like that they put those little touches in. So then you mentioned it was 4-on-4.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know why they did that. I don't know if it was a technical like limitation of what they could do with the NES. I don't know why. Maybe they had too much slowdown when they had 5-on-5 and they had to get rid of one.
I can believe that, yeah.
But I actually think it adds to the game. It gives it more of an arcade feel, and it just is awesome. It
feels like international hockey, because international hockey has the bigger arenas, right?
So much room to move around, I love it. I love the idea of 4-on-4. There's so much room to play. You've always got someone at the back. You know, leave a fat guy back there if you need a defenseman. And then, to me, one of the other awesome parts of this game is the goalies.
So, I was actually just thinking about them. Love that. Were you good at the goalies?
I don't know. I think so. Like, I stop a lot, but a lot of it was just mashing up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, trying to fill as much of the net as I could.
Yeah.
I love playing as the goalie, though.
Yeah.
Like, yourself? You like?
I was okay at it. Like, it's definitely got that air hockey feel of what... I guess it kind of was, wasn't it?
To me, that's the second best mechanic in the game after being able to pick the makeup of your roster, is the fact that they let you control the goalie as much as you do.
Like, and you also control the goalie at the same time as your players.
Yeah.
So you're...
you know what? And everyone's experienced this, dude. Like, when the other team gets you pinned in your zone, and you're like... You have to control your goalie, but at the same time, you're controlling whichever skater you have selected, right? So one of your guys might be behind the net just skating up and down because he's doing what you're telling your goalie to do, right?
Yeah, you got to make that choice of do I take the chance and try to get my guy to get the puck?
Yeah.
Because you could probably do it.
Right.
But then you're like leaving your goal wide open. Yeah. So you really have to make those...
It's phenomenal. It's so fun. Controlling the goalie is as much fun as controlling your forwards is. And when you make a big save, like, that's a great feeling. Yeah. You're trying to hold on to a lead in the last minute of a game, and you make that big... I mean, they all look exactly the same, but you slide them up and make a save.
Because the penalty shots was, like, huge in those games, because it's just like... You're just sending your guy way up and way try to like mess with the goalie. And
so now, when I was getting ready to do this, I do a couple quick watches of Let's Plays, or I dink around with it on one of my systems and stuff.
Right.
And admittedly, after years and years of playing this game, I had no idea that there was a shootout at the game if it was tied. I'd never had one go there.
Oh, because you
never had one make it that far ever.
You just blow them out of the water kind of thing?
Well, that or like, I mean, like, so honestly, like, this came out on the Switch. This was one of the games that launched with the Switch's online service last year.
Okay.
And one of the great things, I know everyone shits on the Switch online, but whatever. One of the cool things that they did add to it is that you can play all the games online.
Oh, so like against other people?
Yeah, which is great. So like the first night, I think, that the NES Online came available, my buddy Chris and I hooked up online and played ice hockey against each other.
Yeah.
And we never had one end a game in a tie, but it was always like 11-10 or 12-11. Like nice, close, just fun, like pump it up games.
Yeah.
But I've never had one go to a shootout before, ever. I didn't know that was a thing.
And yeah.
I was like, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
And then the shootout is the best because they line you up 4-on-4 against right behind the red line.
Yeah.
But you both go the same way, and the goalie just randomly switches.
Yeah, it magically has the paint done.
It's the Mighty Ducks 2. They switch out all their gear in 30 seconds on a timeout at center ice, and no one noticed, and the goalie just switches back and forth. but that's awesome. Like, that's just one more thing they didn't have to put in the game. They could have just made it either a tie or just made it sudden death.
Yeah.
Because goals happen so fast that you could have made a sudden death, and within a minute, the game
will be over.
But that they throw that in is just another little added touch that is just fucking gorgeous, man. I love this game so much.
One of the stories that I always think about when I think about this game, because it's so tied in, it's kind of like less about the game, but one morning when I was playing ice hockey before I was going to school, I was playing like as the Canadians. I was taking on Czechoslovakia, and because Czechoslovakia really is the toughest one, because they have like all the big dudes.
Right.
It was, and they were the toughest team, and I was like winning, and I'm having my cereal and everything like that, and then I hear like this car crash outside, and I'm just like, oh, I gotta check this out. I'm 7 years old. I need to see this. And like, I pause the video game right then and there, because you can't just like let the Czechoslovakians catch up with you.
God, no.
No. So I go, and as I'm going, suddenly the whole house starts shaking, and two city buses had hit my house. I was like running around screaming.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I, you know, turns out. So I come back to my game and just like, well, I guess I can't play this anymore.
Ah, oh, fuck. The old days, where you had to be like, oh, I guess. You
know, I guess this is more important.
Just the worst feeling. Having to turn a game off in the middle of a game. That was the worst feeling.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I God damn, I love this game. Like, I'm telling you, like, I had the fact that it's on the NES Online is perfect. It's as good of game as there is on the NES Online to play online with your friends. But I'm not kidding.
Do you have to pay for it or anything?
Yeah, it's like 20 Canadian. It's $25 a year, and you get to play online.
For the whole service.
Yeah, $25 a year gets you to, you can play online. You get like online saves and shit like that. And then you also get all these NES games that you can just play online with your friends.
Oh, that's great. Like,
there's no voice chat because Nintendo doesn't know how to do online.
Yeah.
Hopefully by the time I actually release this podcast, E3 has gone by and they've figured out how to do it. But even like, I don't care. Like my pal Chris and I, we were just texting with each other, like between gold, be like, fuck you and stuff like that. And just playing it. And I was like, dude, this game like is as good as any game in the NES's library for its multiplayer. As good as any game in the NES's library. For multiplayer,
you do realize you do have voice chat. If you're texting, you could just have a
you could call.
Yeah, just put on speaker.
And some people have brought up that like technically Nintendo has an app that you both download on your phone, and then you can voice chat through that. And most people are like, well, why would I do that when I could just fucking call my friend? But no, it's, I don't know, it's nice to be able to just shoot him a couple of texts. It's not quite the same as sitting on the couch with a buddy when you were kids, but there's also less chance of somebody storming out crying or hitting each other or something like that too. So.
Well, I'd hope so if you're like, you know, in your 30s.
Oh, no. Fuck.
I take that back. We just played Street Fighter.
You just played Street Fighter with me. And I was like, all right, I fucking had enough of this stupid game. Dude, it's such a good game. It's just like, I just was reading that, like, I guarantee you, if you looked up any list of the best, it may not be in the top like 20 NES games of all time, but it's going to be on the list of like the best 50 NES games of all time. It has to be.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, that's an interesting one, because like, I feel like I didn't know anybody else with that game growing up. Me personally.
Really?
Like, I didn't know. Everybody had Blades of Steel.
Right.
That was what it felt like to me.
Same with me. I think like a lot of my, like most people I knew played Blades of Steel as well. But like now that you look back on it, like retrospectively, ice hockey is the one that has stood the test of time. Better than, I won't say any sports game on the NES, because there's a couple of pretty good sports games on the Nintendo.
And the reason is because of that quirkiness. Because like,
absolutely.
Because if you're going to play Blades of Steel, why aren't you playing like NHL 94 or like just modern NHL? Like, why are you...
It needed something to stand out, right?
Yeah.
It was like you mentioned, not to get too off topic, but you mentioned Hits.
Yeah, NHL Hits,
If Hits had tried to be a simulation game, it never would have worked, because there was already a simulation game. So they were like, let's just turn the wackiness up to like a 12 and have fun.
Yeah, because so like that's the thing. Like, if you want to play a wide range of hockey experiences... Ice hockey would be in there. NHL Hits, I think, would be in there. Totally. And then, like, you know, probably NHL 94 and the current iteration of
EA's. Like the modern simulation-y games. Yeah. I love it, man. I love ice hockey. It's as fun to play today as it was back then. It's just so easy to pick up. Anyone could pick it up, and within a game, they would understand how to play it.
I don't know if you could play it for a long time.
No.
But it would be like, I feel it'd be a great, like, let's make a bet right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But kind of a game.
You could play three, or like, you could play a best of three with one of your buddies. And then you're like, all right, well, like, as fun as this is, it's incredibly repetitive after a little while. And I've had enough of this.
Yeah. This is just about ego.
That's all it is. It's just about ego and trying to make your friend rage quit. So. Yeah. But it's great. It's available on everything. It's on the virtual consoles. It's not on the NES Classic. I don't think.
No, it's not.
It's not on the NES Classic. I'm used to playing it on my Switch, but it's pretty readily available. If you're a collector, it's dirt cheap. Go get it. It's awesome.
Try to find Rogue Hockey. Just as like it's like a one-off game.
Yeah, that interests me. Rogue Hockey. Oh yeah, and I just don't know when I'll talk more hockey on here. Other than I have one other hockey game scheduled with somebody, but we haven't really mentioned it. Did you ever play Mutant League Hockey?
Oh, I did not. I was aware of it, but
sick.
I never had access to it, so.
To me, that's like the next iteration of ice hockey. I know it's completely different,
That's the other one, I guess, would be included in the...
It got zany and weird and just made it fun, so. Yeah. Dave, what would you score ice hockey on a scale of 1 to 10?
Let's see. In terms of back then, I feel back then I would give it like a 7.5.
All right.
And I think now I'd say like it is kind of an 8, with the caveat of like, you're not playing this for a long time.
Yeah,
like
that's exactly what I was thinking. It was an 8, because I'm like, dude, this game, like, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but there are NES games that have not aged well, and there are NES games that have, and I'm like, other than the fact that there's no depth to it, Like, as far as there's depth as far as like the customization, but there's no game modes. You'll play it a couple times. You'll be like, all right, I've had enough of this. You know?
Yeah. It's just a fun one off game.
Yeah. You need someone to play it with to really make it fun today. But if you've got someone to play it with, yeah, it's an 8. Like, it's a fun game. Yeah. So, dude, good stuff. Ice hockey. I'm so glad we got ice hockey on the podcast. Like, it was long overdue. I'm glad it made it. Buddy, thank you so much for doing this.
No problem.
And we'll do it again soon.
Sounds great.
That's going to do it for this week's episode, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. David, thanks for coming over and talking ice hockey with me. Guys, when I get back here in 7 days, we're at episode 50. I'm excited. We're rolling out a massive game for the episode. I'm going to launch everything else to go with it. If you're on the social media, throw us a follow. Facebook.com/rememberthegame or YouTube.com/rememberthegame. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at memberthegame. The game with LDRE at the front, and our newest one, twitch.tv/memberthegame. I'll be popping up more and more on there as the weeks go on. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a good review somewhere. I'll try to read them on the show as I did off the top. You guys that left them over the last 7 days, thank you so much. And I'll check in with you guys on June 12th for episode 50 of Remember the Game. We made it. I can't believe it. Thank you guys, and I will see you in a week. Take it easy. Cheers.